Alms for the poor. Have mercy. Alms for the poor. Thank you, sir. May God bless you. Alms. Alms for the poor. Sir. Sir, please come back here for just a minute.
Yes. Were you calling out to me?
Forgive me for troubling you, sir. I know I have no right to ask, but would you help me?
I just did.
I know, sir, and I am most grateful, but I have another need. No, not more money. You've been generous enough.
Well, then what do you want?
Sir, have you heard of a man called Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth?
Well, yes, I've heard of him.
Well, I'm told that he works mighty miracles, and that he's given sight to the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf,
And what?
And that he has made the lame to walk again. Is it true?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose so. At least I've heard that he's done all those things.
Sir, would you take me to the temple, to the Gate Beautiful?
To the Gate Beautiful? Whatever for?
When this Jesus goes to the temple, he surely will pass through the Gate Beautiful. If I could only be there, he would see me and heal me. 40 years I've been a cripple. Ever since I was born. See, my legs are withered and useless. But this Jesus could heal me. I'm sure of it.
What would you do there at the temple gate until this Jesus came by?
I would beg, just as I do here at the marketplace.
Well, I guess I could do it.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I'll come in the morning with another man, and we'll carry you down to the temple.
Oh, you are a true son of our father Abraham. May God bless you.
All right. How does this spot look?
Could you put me just a little closer to the gate? If Jesus comes, I want to be sure he can see me.
Well, how about here, then?
This will be fine. Thank you again, sirs. Both of you are very kind to do this for me.
Oh, that's all right. But now we must hurry and get to work. We'll be back to get you tonight.
Alms for the poor. Have mercy. Alms. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor.
Well, old fellow, it doesn't look like Jesus came by today, did he?
No, he didn't come.
How did the begging go? Did you get anything?
Oh, yes. More than I usually get at the marketplace.
Oh, that's good. We'll bring you back again, then. But now it's time to take you home.
Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Thank you, sir. Alms for the poor.
Is that the same beggar that's been coming here for so long?
Yes, poor fellow. His friends carry him here every day to beg.
But why here? It seems almost a desecration to the temple.
I know. They say he comes here with the hope that someday Jesus will come along and heal him.
Jesus of Nazareth? That's ridiculous. Doesn't he know that Jesus was put to death?
I guess not. Although his disciples do keep claiming that Jesus was raised from the dead and went back to heaven. But I doubt it.
Now, the prophet Elijah was taken up into heaven, you know.
Yes, I know. But I still think it was probably some sort of trick by his disciples. The priests say they stole his body out of the tomb and are just making up this story.
Say, speaking of disciples, look over there. Isn't that two of them approaching Peter and John? They must be coming here to the temple to pray.
Yeah, come on. Let's see what they're up to.
Yes.
Sir. Please have mercy.
Look at us. Are we men of means that you beg of us?
Well, no, sir. What I mean is, please, just a small coin.
I have no silver or gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
And Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong.
Look! Look, he's jumping and leaping around!
After all these years, he can walk!
Peter healed him!
It's a miracle! A miracle!
Healed. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Why do you all wonder at this? Why do you stare at us? It was not by our own power or piety that we made this man walk. The faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all.
You're going to tell one of your stories as adapted from Holy Scripture, aren't you, Uncle Dan?
Ah, that's right, Aunt Sue. And it's one that has a good lesson for all of us. You know, there are some boys and girls, and older folks too, I'm afraid, that think it's all right to lie and cheat, just so they don't get caught. They forget that God knows everything they do. Well, my story today is about a man and a woman who lied and practiced fraud in their dealing with God.
How terrible. When did this happen?
The story took place during the days of the early Christian church, shortly after Jesus went back to heaven after living on this earth. Some of you boys and girls might like to read this story in the Bible. It's found in the book of Acts, chapters 3, 4, and 5. I call the story...
The Cheaters.
After the disciples of Jesus were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they began preaching to crowds of people about the love of Jesus, and thousands believed. Everybody in Jerusalem was talking about the work of the disciples and about the large group of believers. Then Peter, through the name of Jesus, healed a poor lame beggar at the temple gate. And that evening, as Ananias came home from the afternoon hour of prayer, he had exciting news for his wife, Sapphira.
Is that you, Ananias?
Of course. And you'll never guess what happened at the temple today. It was truly amazing, just amazing. Well, go ahead, guess.
Well, it must have something to do with those disciples of Jesus. Anything that's news at all these days seems to concern them. Did one of them preach in a foreign language again or something?
Preach? Oh, that's not the half of it. You know that lame man who begs by the gate beautiful?
Yes.
Well, he was there again today, as usual, and two disciples, Peter and John, came along and healed him.
Healed him? Are you sure?
I saw it with my own eyes. He was healed. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the lame man jumped up and started leaping around and shouting praises to God. Oh, it was something, I tell you. I've never seen anything like it.
But that man, why, he's been lame for 40 years, ever since birth. No one else has been able to help him. How could Peter? Well, he's not even a doctor.
I don't know, but he did. And then you should have heard Peter preach afterward. Of course, I didn't have time to stay and listen to all of it. But you know, Sapphira, I'm beginning to wonder if maybe there is something to what they say after all. I mean, well, you have to admit there's certainly something extraordinary about them.
But although Ananias and Sapphira were attracted to the newly formed group of believers, they still were concerned about their earthly possessions, their business, and their future.
Yeah. That's a good breakfast, my dear. Oh, what are you planning to do today?
Oh, I don't know. I have some things to do here at home, and then I thought maybe I'd go see our friend Elizabeth. You know, I think she's going to join the believers.
Oh? What makes you say that?
I don't know, just the way she talks. I suppose you'll be going to the marketplace?
I have to. If I don't work, we don't eat. Life is a grind. We work and work, but we never seem to get ahead.
What do you mean? You've done all right for yourself. You have a good business. We have a nice home. I have better clothes than a lot of my friends. We own a little property.
Well, I know all that. It's just that, well, we can't seem to be able to save any money for the future. What will we do when I get old and can't work anymore? If we don't manage to save something for later, we'll starve.
I don't like to think about that.
Well, we're not getting any younger. We're going to have to do something to economize.
I'll try harder, dear. I suppose I could get along without the material I was going to buy for a new dress.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Buy the material. I'll just have to earn more. And if I'm going to do that, I'd better get going. See you this evening.
Goodbye, dear. Have a good day.
Goodbye.
Why, Sapphira, how nice of you to drop by. Come in, come in.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Oh, it was such a lovely day, I just couldn't stay at home. How've things been with you?
Oh, I've never been happier in all my life.
How's that?
I've joined the company of believers, you know, the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. We eat our meals together at some of the other believers' homes, and each day we go to the temple and listen to Peter or one of the other disciples preach.
That Peter must be quite a preacher. Ananias heard part of one of his sermons a few days ago.
Peter has changed so much in the past few months, since the Holy Spirit has come upon him.
Changed?
You'd hardly know he's the same man. When Jesus was put to death, Peter, like all the other disciples, was so afraid for his own life that he told the authorities that he'd never even heard of Jesus. But when they arrested him for healing the lame man...
Arrested him? What did they arrest him for?
For healing the lame man. They arrested him while he was still preaching and put him into prison.
But why?
Well, mainly because he did it in the name of Jesus. And because he and the other disciples keep telling the people that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that he was, or rather is, the Son of God.
Is he still in prison?
No. The next day they brought him before the court and asked by what power he did these things. And Peter told them, "By the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified and whom God raised from the dead."
Really? Well, I'll dare say that didn't set with the court very well.
Hardly. But I think they are afraid to do anything to the disciples. Why, there are more than 5,000 men who believe their teachings and are followers. Anyway, the court just warned them never again to speak to anyone in the name of Jesus.
What did Peter say to that?
He said, "You judge what is right in God's sight, to obey you or to obey God." And he still teaches us and prays with us every day.
As Elizabeth continued to talk to Sapphira, she told her how the group of believers was one in mind and heart, and how no one said that anything he had was his own, but all shared their belongings with each other, so that no one in the group was in need. Later, when Sapphira returned to her own house, a plan began to form in her mind. That evening, she prepared an especially good meal. When it was over, they could talk.
Oh, that certainly was delicious. Now, tell me, what's on your mind?
Why, Ananias, what makes you think I have anything on my
mind? Look, I've been married to you long enough to know that when you go to the bother of fixing a meal like this, you have something you want to tell me. Now, come on, out with it.
Well, I went to see Elizabeth today.
So?
She's joined the believers.
Well, you expected she would.
But it's what she told me that I want to talk to you about. You remember we were talking about the future and how we never seem to get ahead. Well, I think this is the answer.
What is the answer to what? I'm not following.
Oh, Ananias, don't be so dense. Can't you see? If we join the believers, all our problems about providing for the future would be solved.
Well, I must be thick-headed, but I don't see what you're getting at.
Well, Elizabeth said that the believers take care of the poor and needy among them. No one has to suffer for lack of food or shelter. They have sort of a common treasury. If we join the believers, they'd take care of us when we get old and can't work anymore.
Oh, I see. May not be such a bad idea. Yeah, I always thought there was something to Peter's preaching anyhow. Let's go see if we can find out where he's speaking tonight.
But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
As Peter preached, many believed and accepted the gospel. But Ananias and Sapphira, though impressed by what they had seen and heard, held back. Each was silent with his own thoughts until they arrived home.
That Peter's sure some preacher, isn't he?
It's no wonder so many people are following after him.
To be honest, I was almost ready to commit myself tonight. I think there's something to what he says about repentance and salvation.
I sort of felt the same way. One thing bothers me a little, though.
What's that?
I keep thinking of all the things we'd have to give up.
Such as?
Oh, our friends. Some of them would probably ridicule and scoff at us.
Think of all the new friends we'd gain. People who would have the same purpose and goals.
I suppose so. Elizabeth says there's a love and peace and contentment among the believers such as she's never seen or felt before. But what about your business? Some of your best customers would probably quit coming.
What if business did slow down?
But we need the money, Ananias.
For what? You said yourself that everyone's taken care of. Your arguments aren't changing my mind a bit. In fact, they're making me more positive it's the right thing to do.
I just wanted to make sure you knew what you were doing. Let's go listen to Peter again tomorrow, and if we still feel the same way, we'll join them, all right?
Fine. And now let's get to sleep. I'm tired. Tomorrow'll be another busy day.
When Ananias and Sapphira finally took their stand with a group of believers, they found within the group a true spirit of love, such as they had never before experienced. There were those who were poor. There were those who had been cut off from family and friends, and those who were without food and shelter. But the Bible tells us there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to each as any had need. One of those who sold a field and brought the money to the apostles was a man called Joseph, a native of Cyprus.
Greetings, Joseph, my friend.
Good evening, Peter.
I trust all is going well with you. You've been with us several weeks now, haven't you?
Yes, and I just can't begin to tell you the joy I've had these past few weeks.
Following our Lord always brings us peace of mind and joy, Joseph.
You know, Peter, I see hundreds around me all the time who have so much less than I. The Spirit of the Lord has impressed me to sell my property and give the proceeds to the work you are doing. All I have, I gladly give. Here, Peter, please receive it. It's the least I can do.
Joseph, how generous of you. Thank you. What you have so cheerfully given will be an encouragement to others. From now on, I'm going to call you Barnabas, because you certainly are a son of encouragement. May God's blessings be upon you.
Welcome.
Ananias, did you notice how the apostles praised that man from Cyprus when he gave them that money?
Yes, they made quite a fuss about it, renaming him Barnabas. That's something.
If the truth were known, he probably didn't really give so much after all.
Oh, there was a goodly sum of money there, all right.
Maybe so.
But I think it was the spirit in which he gave the money that won the favor of the apostles. He gave all that he had willingly and cheerfully.
Maybe we ought to sell some of our property and give the money to the apostles. Then maybe you could win some special favor from them.
Wouldn't work. You know as well as I do that it's not how much is given, it's the spirit in which it's given. If I give just because I'm trying to win favor, it's just, well, like, almost like hypocrisy.
Later, under the direct influence of the Spirit of God, Ananias and Sapphira did make a pledge to give to the Lord the proceeds from the sale of a certain piece of property. However, sometime after making their pledge, they began to regret their promise and yielded to feelings of covetousness.
You know, Ananias, I've been thinking.
Uh-oh. What now?
About that land, you know, that we agreed to sell. That's a valuable piece of property. Maybe we ought to keep it.
Sapphira, how can you suggest such a thing? We made a promise to God. We can't back out now.
But I just wonder if maybe we weren't a little hasty in our decision.
I don't think so. After all...
After all, if we sell that land, that'll... Well, what will there be to show for all your years of hard work?
We'll still have a couple of small properties left. That should be sufficient for our needs.
But I wonder whether we're being wise in selling the most valuable piece. It seems like, well, we'd be better off to sell one of the smaller pieces and keep the valuable one for ourselves. Well,
maybe you're right. I guess we should have thought of this earlier. But now, if we don't do what we said we'd do, everybody will think we're liars, cheaters, hypocrites.
Oh, we can't let that happen, but I wish there was something we could do.
Say, I have an idea.
What?
Look, Sapphira, we didn't say how much we'd give. We just said we'd sell the property and give the proceeds. Don't you see? We can give just part of the money and keep the rest for ourselves. Nobody will know any different. They'll think we gave it all.
Ananias, you're a genius. That's the perfect solution. Now, you go out tomorrow and get a good price for that property. Everybody will think we're so generous for giving such a big amount. Why, we'll be held in high esteem by the rest of the believers.
And besides that, if we ever need to, we'll be able to secure our food from the common treasury.
But all the time, we'll have this extra money stored away for the nicer things we've always enjoyed. Oh, Ananias, I always knew I married a clever man.
It's a capital idea, if I do say so myself.
After Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, they deliberately kept a large share of the money for themselves, money they had pledged to God. Counting the coins and putting them into a bag, Ananias prepared to take their offering to Peter.
75, 76, 77, 80.
I wish you'd hurry up and get this over with, Ananias.
Don't bother me. Can't you see I'm busy? I'm hurrying as fast as I can. 87, 88, 89, 90. Can't you quit pacing the floor?
I'm just watching to make sure no one comes while you're counting the coins. Anything wrong with that?
The way you're acting, you'd think we were thieves or something. There, I think I'm ready to go. You're coming with me, aren't you?
I don't think so.
What? I thought sure you'd want to see me praised and honored by the apostles.
I know, I hate to miss it, but really, I'm not feeling too good. I think I'll stay home and rest a bit. Besides, I'm sort of jittery. I'm afraid I might give away our secret.
All right, then, but don't say I didn't ask you to go. I'd better be on my way. I'll be back in just a little while.
Do be careful, Ananias. Somehow I'm a little worried.
About what? Nobody's going to know that we kept back part of the money?
I know, it's just that... No, I don't know. Go on, Ananias, get it over with, and hurry back and tell me what happened.
Good afternoon, Ananias. You're early for the afternoon prayers, aren't you?
Yes, I guess I am. I really came to see you, Peter.
Oh? You seem a little troubled. Is something wrong? Is Sapphira ill? I see she's not with you.
Oh, no, no. It's not that. It's... Well, you know that property I promised to sell? I've sold it. It didn't bring as much as I thought it might, but here's the money for the common treasury.
Yes, I remember. That was a valuable piece of property. Is this all the proceeds from the sale?
Yes, sir.
Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land?
But while
it remained unsold, did it not remain your own?
Yes.
No one compelled you to sacrifice your possessions. You acted from choice, did you not?
Yes.
And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal?
Well, I guess so.
How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And the young men arose and carried him out and buried him. Meanwhile, at home, Sapphira was pacing the floor, waiting, watching, wondering, worrying.
What is keeping Ananias so long? He should have been home before this. Oh, I hope nothing terrible's happened. Got to quit worrying. There's probably a good explanation for the delay. Everybody's undoubtedly trying to talk to him and praise him for his generosity. Something really important must have happened. But 3 hours? Surely he would have come home before this. I think I'll go see if I can find out what's happening.
When Sapphira arrived, Peter was still receiving the gifts from the believers.
Peter, have you seen Ananias?
He was here.
But where is he? He left the house over 3 hours ago to bring our donation to you, but he hasn't returned. I thought he might be here with you.
Sapphira, tell me, that donation your husband brought, was that the price of your land?
Yes, the very amount.
How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?
What?
Hark, the feet of those that have buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out.
Buried my husband? Ananias is dead?
Immediately she fell down at Peter's feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Boys and girls, Ananias and Sapphira grieved the Holy Spirit by yielding to feelings of covetousness, hypocrisy, and falsehood. And their sin was visited with swift and terrible judgment. This judgment testified that men cannot deceive God, that he detects the hidden sin of the heart, and that he will not be mocked. This example was designed as a warning to the people then and to all future generations. From the stern punishment meted out to those perjurers, God would have us learn how deep is his hatred and contempt for all hypocrisy and deception. The same God who punished them today condemns all falsehood. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible tells us that nothing unclean shall enter heaven, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood. Let's all make sure that telling the truth becomes a part of our daily lives.
Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth.